Welcome to Military Illumination, a podcast that will help you decide if the military option is right for you or someone you care about. I'm your host, Gary. I'm a veteran. I've been impacted by the military, and I've shared the fruits of my journey and heartaches to help you navigate the traps and danger of military service. We provide information about military recruitment, traps, benefits, and lifestyles. By illuminating the truth about military benefits and issues surrounding the military lifestyle, military experiences using historical data, stories, and by military-owned admissions, you'll be able to be in a power position because now you know what the military knows. Therefore, you will be able to make an informed decision about enlisting in the military, especially if you are between 18 and 24 years old. The flip side is learning about this information while you're in the military going through a negative situation. At that time, it will be too late. So, let's turn on the lights. I got a question for you. JAG and entrapment. What is the issue? Issue is, if you're going to be in the military, you're going to be under the JAG, the power of JAG, Judge Advocate General. As a result, you will be impacted by the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is a legal system in the military. And as I mentioned before, on other podcasts, there's this thing called the Ferris Doctrine. What is the Ferris Doctrine? I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. You can Google that. But in a nutshell, it allows the military to escape, or should I say, avoid being held accountable. Think about it as a cocoon. Inside is the military, and outside is everyone else. So what is the issue? The issue is that it's very easy for a person to be entrapped in the military and sustain little issues that they don't have to. So why do you need to know this before you go in? You need to know these things about the JAG and entrapment and the legal issues because it's very easy to fall into that situation. Once you're in play, there's no really escape. So if you're a young person thinking about enlisting in the military, or maybe you're past 20, walk into a situation where you're going to be negatively impacted through the legal system. In some cases, even if you didn't do any wrong, wouldn't you want to know about that? Would that be even a consideration for enlisting? That's something just to think about. Is what I'm going to enlist for, is it worth the possibility that I can be incarcerated without my rights being provided for me? Okay. And like I mentioned before, I'm not saying anything new. There's the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. You can Google it. You can ask people. But don't ask the recruiters because they don't lie to you anyways. But it's understanding me that you have to understand that in the military, in the Advocate General, they're not held accountable. They don't have to follow the rules. And what protects them is this thing called the Ferris Doctrine, which I won't get into. I've done some, there's a lot of information out there. Before I go on, I'm always talking to young people about different things. And one thing, when I'm talking to a young person about their careers or what they want to do, and the military pops out, I have to share. And I was sharing this with one student, a kid who's graduating. He's one of our youth groups. And I was telling him about the things I share here, about how the military held accountable, the truth behind enlistment, the truth behind the military experience. And he basically realized, he really says, so they basically sugarcoat everything. Think about that. A young man who has no experience in the military, and his, how can I put it? His conclusion was the military sugarcoats everything. And the answer is yes. One thing you understand about the military and the recruiters, they sugarcoat everything. They'll tell you proudly, we have a system. You're a judge advocate system, judge advocate general system, Uniform Code of Military Justice. Your rights are going to be protected. You're going to be fine. You're going to have legal help. They're going to give you all to make you feel all the warm fuzzies about what you're about ready to get into. Theoretically, when I enlisted, when they mentioned it to me, I said, okay, I felt good about it. I felt, okay, I can join the military, and I know my rights to be protected. But what you want to understand, too, is the difference between a military justice system and a civilian justice system, the difference really, when you look at it in clean, you're going to get a better representation if you are a civilian than if you are in the military. In both cases, stay away from the court-appointed stuff, court-appointed defense attorneys and the defense in the military. Okay, just stay away from them. I would say the biggest difference is that accountability and the ease at which they can navigate the system. What I mean by that is that in civilian, you got laws, you got regulations, you got rules. Same thing as military, but they're following the civilian. Okay, I'm not saying it's perfect, but if there's a discrepancy, it can be dealt with in a more efficient way, if I can say that, okay? It's easier to navigate. In the military, what you understand is that you are in this cocoon, okay? And inside the military, what does that mean when you're isolated, when you're cocooned? There's no help for you, okay? There is no help. There's no support from the outside world, okay? So as you're thinking about the military, and maybe if you're in, think about it as if you're inside of this cocoon. Or if a better way, you can say you're inside of it as one of the little globes that you can shake with the snow. Everything's happening around you outside, but inside, it's controlled. There's nothing can get in. And that's what you're thinking about when you're talking about the military. That's the most important thing. I can ramble on, but with the military, I'm gonna keep saying it. You're a cocoon. They're sheltered. And because of the Ferris Doctrine and the right to be autonomous, a right to be autonomy, that's the shell. Okay, your parents aren't going to be able to help you, your family, your friends, not even your preacher will be able to help you in there. You're isolated. You're by yourself. And a lot of times, a person don't think about that until they're in the middle of it, when it's you're knee-deep in poo-poo and you're realizing there's no help. Something that I also think about is that the military, and when you talk about employers, they're the only ones that employ that actually can incarcerate you. Most employers, they can fire you, but they can't incarcerate you unless you commit a crime that they want to press charges on you and for civil suits and whatever, but you're still not going to be incarcerated. You're incarcerated when you have committed a crime that against the law in society, and it's the society in the government that's going to punish you. But in the military, your commander can punish you. Under Uniform Code of Military Justice, Article 15, they don't even have to use a judicial process. It can just be your word against theirs. Lies, no lies. It's almost like one of those movies where you see, where you come to town, one of the small towns, and I don't know why, because I love small towns, but the judge, the sheriff, the mayor are all the same guy. Okay, so that's the same person. Something to think about is not only can the military punish you, can incarcerate you, they also impact your future employment. So now, whereas I believe there's things within that protects people from having HR spread rumors about a person to other employers, right? But in the military, I don't know. It's just you're impacted in a way that you don't even realize. You don't have to have done something wrong. It could be your word against their word. And subsequently, you end up getting a discharge that's less than honorable, or even a dishonorable discharge. That's really going to limit your employment opportunity. You might as well have been incarcerated with a felony. That's something else that you want to think about when you enlist in the military. That's something that people don't notice or don't understand until maybe they're in your knee deep into it, or if they're done and you got this less than honorable discharge, just general discharge. First person I'm gonna ask you is, what did you do? But that's not what we hear about. That's just something to keep in the back of your mind. Is when you're dealing with the military, right, and dealing with armed forces, you understand that you're a cocoon. They're protected against any type of, being held accountable. Ferris Doctrine really protects them. There might be one of those things where you escape through, unless it's a high-profile situation, and maybe if you're an officer, maybe if it's just high-level situation, you're at the mercy of the system, okay? And that's what I want you to know, and that's an issue. The issue is this. You can be entrapped without even knowing about it, and everything that would have been inadmissible is now admissible. And it's going to take you a boatload of money, I'm talking not even a boatload. I'm talking about like a shipload of money to navigate yourself out of that. Let's get into the meat of the matter here. It's protected against self-incrimination. Now, this is what you're going to have to understand. Okay? Yes, I don't know how, if I can be in front of you, if I can just shake you, I would. If I can slap you around, just to help you understand this thing here, is that you have protection against self-incrimination. As in civilian life, it's called the Miranda warnings. You hear them all on TV, you have the right to remain silent, you have the right to be an attorney, okay? And if you're not given those rights if you're not read your rights, if you're Miranda rights, you're a civilian, and you made a statement, that's a slam dunk. That's an easy to get dismissed. But not in the military, okay? In the military, it's under Article 31 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, okay? What that Article 1 is protect you against self-incrimination. That means telling on yourself, okay? You could be standing there with a skull in one hand, knife in the other hand, right? But if you didn't read your rights before they question you, that information could be, an attorney, inadmissible, okay? So you go online and you can find out, if you Google Article 31, you'll find all kinds of lawyers, you'll find all kinds of websites with it in there, right? To me, that's almost, I don't know, clickbait. Because while you read it and it tells you that you had the other right, you read it from these lawyers that want to help you, especially their ex-JAG officers. I wouldn't trust them as far as you can do them. All those websites lead you to believe that, yes, that you have rights. Yes, if they do this to me, I can come after them. I can appeal it. That's what we're saying. That's a facade that they put out there. In reality is the Farage Doctrine. The reality is JAG, the Judge Advocate General, the judges in the military, they can bypass that, convict you, information that you shared, would that be having your rights read to you? And unless you have a whole boatload of money, like I said before, to go through the appeals process, it's going to take you a whole lot of money to unravel that, you're done. Or if you don't have a whole lot of money and you're going to Google an attorney, all they're going to do, I'm not saying all of them, but if you're in the military and you're enlisted, you don't have enough money to hire the right people or even to go the distance, you know? You have the money, then I would say the money you would need, I'll get into that later, but it's going to be $20,000 to retainer fee and probably $750, and then you might have a decent person there. And I know some of you guys are probably JAG officers listening to this anyways, or people who are attorneys anyways, even sniff at that. Yeah, you will, but in the end, you're going to find a way to bleed the person before you drop them off at the bus station. I've been there, I know that. So Article 31, and this is from the Appendix 2, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Everything I talk about, it is a court case. I'm going to go ahead and put it in my transcripts there. And what it says is that if they suspect you to have, hold on. If you're suspected of a crime, there's a suspicion that you have to have your rights read to you. Okay, Article 31, here it is here. So, if no person, as subject to this chapter, may compel another person to incriminate himself or to answer any questions, the answer to which may tend to incriminate him. That's Section 831, Article 31, compulsory self-incrimination prohibited. B, no person subject to this chapter may interrogate or request any statement from an accused or a person suspected of an offense without first informing him of the nature of the accusation and advising him that he does not have to make any statements regarding the offense of which he is accused or suspected, and that any statement made by him may be used as evidence against him in a trial by court-martial. Okay. I try by court-martial, but you got to get there first. And that's what comes in Article 15, where you don't need that. It's your word against, your commander's word against your word. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what it says. And every website, that's what you're going to get a taste of. But in reality, all that really is just sugarcoating the legal military system. Okay, that's all it is, just sugarcoating. Because that right there is in the regulation, what I just read to you, right? That's what's supposed to happen. But what happens is totally different. And my advice to you is this. I don't care if you're standing there and with the skull in one hand, and you got blood on your shoes, don't say anything. I know it's kind of a horrid thing to say. I don't give a rest, but, right? It's saying is that they got you red-handed. Yeah, I don't care. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Say anything. Now, that's going to be hard at times, right? Because there's court cases where the military police, the JAG, isolated individuals, put them on extreme circumstances, right? Under for days. Then they go in for the confession without even reading their rights. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. I want to share with you one court case. A lot of these court cases you can find just by Googling the Military Court of Appeals, Article 31, right? So once again, I don't care what they do to you. If you're in a, okay, let's look back up here. If you're thinking about going to the military, understand this. If they suspect you're doing something, they're going to do everything they can to get a confession out of you. The only thing to get a confession out of you is to give you the comfort that you're just, that there's nothing on the line for you. That's a trick that I will talk about. Okay. The minute you confess, it's over. Because now you not only have to have to deal with the offenses they're being accused of, but now you're going to be dealing with trying to get that information thrown out. And unless you're going to go into, unless you got a boatload of money, okay, talking about a little bit, I'm talking about like an ocean liner, like one of the freighter boats or whatever, full of money, to unravel that, you're stuck. And not only are you stuck financially, but emotionally as well. Okay? Now, if you're already in, keep your mouth shut. I don't care if they scare the poop out of you. Wet your pants. But don't say anything till you get a lawyer in there. And my advice to you is you have it transcribed, have it a civilian attorney. Don't have a military attorney. Because they're all, the military court, they're all in bed together. Okay? I don't care what anybody says. Right? You can read the reports. You can read the appeals. You can read the cases that are in the United States Supreme Court. Okay? All the way up. A favorite play in the military is to get a confession without giving your rights. To actually violate your rights. Your Article 31 rights. United States Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, United States, which is appeal, versus Joseph R. Nelson. He's a lieutenant commander that was in the United States Navy Reserve. Navy Reserve. He wasn't even active here. He's the one that's appealing. Now, this is where I talk about the money coming in. Here's an issue with the person who's being accused is a lieutenant commander. He's high up there. He did something, right? But he's high up there. So he's got the influence, he's got the money, and he's got the wherewithal to hire the people to walk through the process. This case was argued December 7th, 2021, and was decided July 22nd, 2022. Now, in order to get to this point here is the United States Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. There's a lot of steps. There's a lot of other lower cases, lower courts that you have to navigate, okay? So I'm pointing this out to you. I could point this fact here. During the interview, I'm reading off the case here. You can Google it. During the interview, the agents downplayed appealant's potential criminal liability and told him that their real concern was the involvement of other service members. This was a sex trafficking thing. I was really hoping, for example, the one NCIS, I guess it's a Navy one, NCIS agent told appealing, I was really hoping that you'd be in my whistleblower, okay? Appealing and ultimately admit to the NCIS agent that he had did some things that were wrong, inappropriate with prostitutes, okay? Okay, so the I think I'm reading this for you. Here we go. The assigned issue is, under Article 31, there it goes again, Section D, Uniform Code of Military Justice, requires suppression of statements taken in violation of Article 31B after the military judge determined that the NCIS agents violated Article 31B because their rights advisement did not properly orient the appellant, which is the lieutenant colonel, to the nature of the suspected misconduct. Did the military judge err by only suppressing the statement as it related to one specific offense, but then allowing the evidence to be admitted for the remainder of the offenses? Okay, and this is what I was talking about before. This military judge, this is the appeals court, so you can look at it. And they're saying here, did he err in allowing the evidence to be issued despite the Article 31 violation? I'm going to read it again here, okay. For the remainder of the offenses, suppression of his entire statement to the NCIS agents on January 23rd, 2018, on the grounds that the statement was obtained through the use of coercion. Well, I'll tell you before, I mean, they put you aside, right? They're going to isolate you. They're going to keep you no water. You know, they're going to coerce you. Unlawful influence, unlawful inducement. The military judge denied this motion as so unsupported by the totality of the circumstances. In the second motion, the appellant, which is the lieutenant colonel, sought suppression of his entire statement to the NCIS, I guess it's the Navy, so there must be a Marine or Navy, agents on the grounds that the agents did not warn him, as required by Article 31B, that he was suspected of being trafficking, sex trafficking. I don't like it, I don't care for it, but this is what's happening. In violation of Article 134 of the Military Code of Military Justice, the military judge denied this motion, including that the accused was orientated to the Article 31-34 offense, which he was charged. So basically, you can read it yourself. Well, basically, what you're looking at here is exactly what we've been talking about. A person was committed of an offense, okay? They used tactics to make them feel comfortable, right? To take them off guard, to get the information without letting him know what he's being accused of or his rights. And in this situation here, he's appealing those facts that the military judge should have caught. Would say the military judges are, it's, when you think about the military judge system, they're all in cahoots. You're through. Because the judge advocate controls the judge, controls the attorneys, and what they want, they get. But this is a prime example of what we're talking about. The coercion, the misrepresentation, undue influence. All those things can come to bear. And if you're thinking that you're just going to, everything's going to be cut and dry, everything be clear, it isn't. And you can have all day long, you can have all these articles, all these codes that's supposed to protect you. But it only protects you if the people who's in charge of enforcing it follow the rules. And JAG doesn't follow the rules. I don't care what anybody says. Honestly, you might think, in fact, anti-JAG, and I am, to the extent you use their mockery of justice, to the extent that they don't have to follow it. I'm not saying everybody who goes in the military is going to have an issue with this JAG, but it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. It just takes a little turn. Little twist there, and you're through. And you got to understand that the military has their own code, their own legal system, their own laws, if you would. It's only there if they want to follow them. It's probably punitive in nature. So if you're in the military and you're going up against JAG, may the force be with you, as they say. And if you're not in military yet, maybe you might want to reconsider. And in this case here, initially, I think he was got some confinement, but he had to give up 4 months worth of pay for him was like $6,000. So they took away $24,000. Another way of putting it, they docked his pay. So let's look at from my perspective and my friend and the Washington National Guard. When we talk about, he was in reserves, right? So when we talk about these reserves and National Guards or anything, it's all part of the same pie, right? It's always going to impact just one way or the other. Okay, sometimes there's people who are active Guard Reserve. That means they're active, they're full-time in the Guard. And they have to serve a couple of, 1 week in a month. But they're for retirement purposes, they're on active duty. The thing they have with my friend, who happened to be active Guard Reserve, almost like the reserve guy here. Yeah, it's just what happened in that situation was textbook here. And I told you before, Lieutenant Colonel Britt Dockery, who eventually of the 160th Aviation Battalion in Fort Lewis, he was the adjutant general, but I think he retired recently. But when he was a commander there, and along with Major Robin Davis, they did this. My friend had no idea about what another person had did or had stored in a boiler room adjacent to, it just had to be building. And then was told by that person that, it's a long story, but he was lied to and a lie was shared, not knowing. And here's the kicker. Brett Dockery, in his sworn statements, knew about this problem. He, probably 3 or 4 times he had suspicion. 3 or 4 times that he admitted in this document. But never at one time did he stop and give the Article 31 warning. But he did question this person 3 or 4 times. And you can see in the statements that he was trying to get this person to say the same thing over and over again. And eventually one of the things was false official statements. Here you are, you're trying to defend your goodwill. You didn't do anything wrong. You're making statements based on what you believe was the truth, what you were told, right? And they started legal proceedings based on that. But they only could have legal proceedings if they knew the truth. And here comes the kicker. Major Robin, he was the JAG officer. Major Palmer Shaw, William P. Shaw. Executive officer, 168th Aviation Battalion at the time, okay? He brought this soldier in. He said, we don't care, in his sworn statements, he said, we don't care what you did with this equipment. The equipment was like uniforms, probably like just expendable stuff, things you find at a pawn shop. But he had a lot of it that was stored in that, storage area, this boiler room. He said, we don't care what you did with it. We just want to know. We don't care. We're not going to get you in trouble. You're not in any trouble. We just want to know where it's at. We just need to know what it is. We're not going to get in any trouble. We just need to know. And the kid, sounded like a bird, took him to where all the stuff he had moved it to. Yeah. And that is what got the ball rolling against my friend. The person who admitted it, who actually did the incident, who actually moved the stuff, who actually was storing the stuff, got nothing. Why does that sound weird? No, it just sounds weird to you. It's the truth. Call Brett Dockery. Call, William P. Shaw. Okay. Call the Washington military. But this was a combination of a whistleblower. This person refused to lie. Remember, you get to hear about an incident that William P. Shaw was investigating about another soldier. Even this person told Shaw what he wanted to know, that was a legal offense right there if it wasn't true. So they kept going until you found something to charge this person with. Yeah. And that's what you're dealing with. Kind of all the senators of Washington, the United States Senator, everybody knew. The Department of Defense, National Guard Bureau, everybody was aware. Everyone. And because of the Ferris Doctrine, everybody turned their backs. Even though this person didn't had to go to court, by themselves, without a defense attorney, because the defense attorney, their detail, Gregory Goodell, refused to represent this person. And Patty Murray, powerful Patty Murray, of Veterans Affairs, her office, nothing. Let that sink in. Here is it. I think she might be ahead of the chairman chair for the military veterans or whatever, right? And she did nothing. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. So what is this all about? What it comes down to is eliminating the truth behind military operations as it pertains to the judicial system. This goes, the issue is that they will not follow their own regulations or laws in order to get you to incriminate yourself so that they can prosecute you. I don't know what other employment that you want, that you can be into where this is, happens. Am I okay? They sugarcoat everything. If you're thinking about the military, and hopefully maybe you might not be listening to this, maybe someone who listened to it, who knows, right? You got to factor that, don't you? Is it important to factor these things in? It's like going to war. Not everyone dies, but if you're impacted, if someone does die, that family's impacted. Not everyone gets injured, but if you are injured, we never know who it was going to be, that can impact your life. Not everyone has PTSD to a heavy extent, but if you do, it's going to impact your life. It's like you're playing, you're just playing Russian. Hey, you said we're Russian roulette, but I just did. Put five bullets in a chamber and see what happens. Are you willing to take that chance? Okay. Yes, there's a lot of people who join the military and they just come out fine and just dandy. Bless their heart, tell you the truth. But there's a lot more who are negatively impacted. Okay. Another thing is that sex abuse in the military, harassment, all those things are high. You know, a lot of it's from the commanders. And then one incident can alter a person's life. Here they go into the military to get a career or maybe get some money for college, whatever. They end up having to go through a rape situation or sexual assault situation at the hands of their commanders or high-ranking officers or people in their chain of command. Only turn around thinking that they can find help, but they find nothing. When actually it's turned around against them. And even who are they going to go to? JAG supports the officers. The civilian court supports the military. They didn't say you can go to the chaplain, but the chaplain's wearing bars. Okay. He's part of the issue. They say I can go to IG, the Attorney General. They're all in cahoots. So there's no place to turn. You're cocooned. Whether it's a legal system or the sexual assault system, or the system where you are being mistreated, when you're in play, there's nothing for you. Okay. So what is the issue? The issue is you have no legal protection. You have no legal protection. Turn the lights out. Hopefully that you've learned something. Hopefully that you can do your due diligence. And hopefully that you can share this. And if you're in the military and you're going through some stuff, you know what? May the force be with you. And hope you pray. Because you're done. Have a good night.
Resources. United Sate versus Nelson, number 21026 in a judgment of the court. Appendix 2, Uniform Code of Military Justice Effective, December 2, 2019, includes updates from FY 18 and 19 and 20 NDAA. Ferris Doctrine, https://chaservicemembers.org, Ferris Doctrine.